Welcome to the Get Through America podcast. We sit down with the amazing people who do life in our community because we believe every story should be told. I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, I am sitting down with Jace Dunnigan. Before we jump into this conversation, would you please, please go ahead and subscribe to YouTube, Instagram, all the goodness. Jace, let's go ahead and get your social stuff out there. Where can people find you at that may not know where to find you?
Facebook is just Dunnigan-Farms, Dunnigan-Farms. Instagram is Dunnigan_Farms. TikTok is just at Dunnigan Farms. YouTube is at Dunnigan-Farms. I think that's it.
Gotcha. TikTok, you all on TikTok?
Yeah.
What is that experience? I know the wife, tell the wife's name.
Heather Dunnigan.
Heather Dunnigan, Jace's better half.
Much.
Is that how we can say that
much
right
better.
Now? Much
oh, yeah.
better half.
Oh, yeah.
Is the marketing guru behind Dunnigan Farms, and we'll get more into Dunnigan Farms a little bit later. But what do you know based on just maybe kind of observing TikTok? Has been what for you all?
TikTok is it's great. It's trending. It definitely hits a lower audience in age, a younger audience. And the stuff that they like is much different than the stuff that I like, which is much different than the stuff my grandma likes. And so if you got money and you eat, you're our customer. Yeah. And so then we have to spend our time and our thoughts of a way to target market, you know, each person that eats. And so TikTok is great for that. A lot of the stuff that trends on TikTok isn't really a product you buy. It's more an experience that you get to share.
Yeah.
And people find either joy or hope or utter embarrassment in your experience, all of which are good.
All of which is good.
Yeah, that's right. There's really
none of it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the when you can control what you post. It can be bad. It can be embarrassing. But yeah. It kind of leads credence to the fact that no publicity is bad publicity.
Yeah,
if you're willing
sure.
to put it out there and you can relate somehow with somebody, then a relationship's going to be fostered and maybe a sale will be made at some point in the future.
Yep.
And if not, you still make friends.
Now, do you all like adjust what you share on TikTok versus Instagram? Or do you all kind of just repurpose it all?
No. I'd say that there's some stuff that's shared on TikTok and IG that's not shared on Facebook, and definitely a bunch of stuff that's shared on those three platforms that's not on YouTube.
Gotcha. So it's best to follow you all on all of them to get the
sure.
the big yeah yeah
yep. yeah yeah. And it's not necessarily designed that way. It's just that each platform has its own purpose, mm-hmm. the way we see it, the yep. way that my marketing director wife sees it. Who has no schooling in marketing, by the way.
Who has no schooling, but learning on the fly, which yep. you have learned that has actually been probably better than going and getting an education.
So from a lot of people that we talk to that ask her how she does it, I mean, she just throws her hands up. She's like, I ain't got no idea. The grace of God is how I do it. Being steady, being consistent, you know. And a lot of these people are like, well, we're taught to do this and taught to do this, taught to this. I'm like, we do some of this, we do some of that, we do none of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just kind of the recipe that works for us.
For sure, for sure. You're from Guthrie, America.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit of your story.
Born and raised in the exact same house. I moved one time, and that's when I moved out of my parents' house. Up there on Hill Edition, in Hill Edition on North Broad Street, and right there by high school. So from there, the 18 years of my childhood, that was the center. There was really nothing off limits. See, I'm old enough to go back to being, you know, 9 and 10 years old, and ride my bicycle from there.
Oh, gotcha.
Up to the temple, yeah. around town, to the west side, to Mineral Wells Park, to Highland Park, rollerblading, skateboarding. There's nothing that was really off limits. And so I spent hours and hours and hours and hours all over everything, everywhere here in Guthrie. And mark it up to one of the best childhoods anybody could have ever experienced.
Yeah.
As far as the hometown feel, it wasn't like your super duper small hometown. But at that point, and if you make yourself known, and as kids we did, everybody knows you. So as long as you're in town, you're at home. Yeah. And that's kind of the Guthrie has a very addictive quality about it, especially to visitors. And if you're lucky enough, that'll never leave even once you live here. Like, it's kind of always been that way to me. Growing up here, I always wanted to go downtown, wanted to be at the football games, at the baseball games. And ultimately when I was old enough to start making some of my own decisions, not that very many of them were good, I tried to be.
Yeah.
And, of course, you learn a lot in those times of adolescence, but Guthrie never betrayed me. You know what I'm saying? I betrayed it a few times. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have, but it's still the same today as it was, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of the older people that weren't old when I was little running around. I mean, they's older than me, but they're getting up there now. Yeah. Like, man, are you still around? They say, it hadn't changed any, since the 50s or 40s. A lot of them remember it back then. It's the same to them today in 2022 as it was in 1940. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. It says something to not get washed out in today's society, for a town not to get washed out and just repurposed, replaced, like so many towns do, many cities do. They started as something great, and they're going to continue, but they ain't going to continue what they started. They're going to continue as a manifested new idea of somebody who had better, bigger plans than taking what already existed and making better.
Yeah, that's good. So when you were growing up, they hadn't changed the neighborhood schools.
Nope.
And so you had the opportunity to hit up every school.
But Charter Oak.
Yep.
Yeah, that wasn't there yet.
And you didn't get to hit Banner either. You're not quite that old.
No. No. But, I mean, we knew what Banner was.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because it was still the structure of it.
Was still there.
Was still there.
Yep.
And
it was an administrative building.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so okay. They did some administrative work there.
Okay. Before they moved over to Vilas.
Right.
Got you.
And and so it still existed within the school system.
Yeah.
But like my parents, they knew what Banner was.
For sure. Well, your parents went to Banner, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I went to Banner. And maybe, at that time, I think it was only pre-K and kindergarten.
I think you're right.
Yeah, whenever I went there. And so
pre-K and kindergarten and then first grade.
First grade was at
second,
Central.
Third.
Yep. Second and third was at Cotterill.
Yep.
For you?
No, first pre-K or kindergarten and first grade was at Cotterill for me. Second grade was at Central. Third grade was at Fogarty. And Guess was kind of new, but fourth, fifth, and sixth was at Guess for me.
Got you. So did you hit fourth, fifth, and sixth?
At Guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I may have been the second class that went all the way through the three grades.
Okay.
I can remember it being built. I mean, I was playing those dirt piles when I was building school.
Okay.
Riding my bicycle.
Oh, because you lived up that way?
Yeah, I lived up there.
Yeah. Because you got to experience, do you remember, like, the excitement around being like, oh, we're going to be able to be in the new school? Or was that even a big deal?
No. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just one of them deals to build a new school. Mm-hmm. Like, my cousins, they, I think, got to be in the new school.
Okay.
And so it was something to them, but it's one of them deals.
By the time you got there, you was like,
by the time I got there, it was just school.
Yeah.
I knew it was a lot newer than Fogarty, coming out of third grade Fogarty back in, that was in 95, 94. It's hot. I remember it was hot. And I guess it was not hot.
Like, yeah.
It was perfectly climate controlled. Like, we show up first day of school, I'm like, cold. What is this? It's August. I'm cold inside. Like, what is going on? And just to watch how it's grown, since then. It's two grades, I guess, now?
Yeah.
Fifth and sixth.
Yeah, fifth and sixth, yeah.
And then the neighborhood schools for kindergarten through fourth, which is weird. Like, I mean, anybody that doesn't get to experience – Cotterill and then Central and then Fogarty. Just seems so weird.
That's so true. Yeah. So whenever I sit down and talk, very few people that I've gotten to sit down and talk with so far did not get to go to neighborhood schools, right?
Yeah.
Because it just recently happened. But to think about not being able to experience all of the schools is kind of wild to me. However, I didn't get to experience Guess or Charter Oak.
Right.
And so now they have a whole completely different experience. So it'd be cool to be able to talk to people at some point about that.
And then it will be nice. Yeah. And I think I've got some nieces, nephews, and a bunch of kids that are in the neighborhood schools. Seems good. I mean, I think there's a lot of coolness to the broadness of the age groups. So like where my kids go to school, it's K-12.
Okay.
There's 280 kids total, K-12. Yes. Something like that, right?
That's one class.
So like one class. It's pretty cool. But I think it's just population grows. You can't do that. But I think it's good for the kindergarten and first graders to see the fourth graders.
Yeah.
You know, and watch them have the opportunities to act right or act otherwise. And I think it helps the development of the kids.
For sure.
Versus just them being with their own group their whole school year.
What, thinking of, just continue to talk about schools a little bit, what are some teachers that stood out to you? Maybe you can name drop different schools if you can go back that far. Like
I can name every single one of them.
You can name every single one of your teachers? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot. Go ahead.
So I had Miss Reed in first grade.
Here's the thing. When you're going through them, if you want to highlight something specific about them that you remember, you go ahead.
Yeah, Miss Reed was my teacher in first grade. She was – your phone is ringing, sir.
Yeah.
Pause. No, she was cool. Nothing really stood out. My second grade teacher, Miss Clark, Judy Clark, she has a little girl named JC now. Well, I say little girl. Shoot, she's 30, probably right at 30, maybe a little older. Anyway, my name's Jace. Our name is JC. She missed half of, well, I say half. She missed 6-7 weeks of my second grade year so she could go have this little kid. Anyway, she named her JC. And so I thought that was cool. JC's older brothers, Jed, Jacob, and Jared are all cool people. I still see Jared quite a bit. Always looked up to him growing up, just probably because we went to church together and his mom was my teacher.
Okay.
Like that was her oldest kid, and so he was kind of a sports star and older person to look up to. So that was second grade. Third grade was Miss Simrad. She was cool. She really embarrassed me one day. I was doing this pre-algebra deal on this little stupid tablet that was not pre-algebra at all, but it was called pre-algebra. And I'm like, Miss Simrad, I can do pre-algebra. She's like, so she starts writing this stuff down. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, it's on this deal. And she's like, well, let me do you some pre-algebra. She writes this equation down. I'm like, I can't answer that. She's like, then you can't do pre-algebra. Like, she was very straightforward. I'm like, no, but I can. She's like, then solve that. And I'm like, I can't solve that. And so she kind of put into a little bit of perspective the differences of opinions of what something may be and what it actually is and getting put on the spot. I also remember Miss Simrad. I hope you're listening. Her name, first name is Denise, I think. I wrote this story about the king of the jungle and obviously a lion, right?
Uh-huh.
In the story, I did not have the word lion anywhere. And I did not get an A.
Because you didn't have...
Because I did not have the word lion, but I drew these pictures of this lion. Okay.
So you didn't mention lion, I didn't but you mention, drew pictures.
I drew pictures of the lion. But she's like, Jace, you have to... The plot is about the king of the jungle. The king of the jungle is what? What's a lion? There's a picture. But that word lion is not in your story. You refer to the king. So, I'll never forget that. Fourth grade was Miss Young, Judy Young, absolute saint of a lady. Also had an older boy named Luke, and he played football when I was little. So, we'd see Luke on the football field, my teacher's son. Fifth grade was Miss Slater, Miss Jenkinson now. And we started switching classes. So, in fifth grade, we went from Miss Slater to Miss Bradley. I think back and forth.
Y'all were just switching the two
classes.
The two teachers, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's and, sixth grade.
The fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay.
So sixth grade, we went to four teachers, which was my sixth grade teacher. Sixth grade, we went to four teachers. It was Miss Lindsay and Miss Wagner and Miss Davison. And, well, I'm pulling a blank. It'll come to me. So we switch.
Miss Davison, the principal now? No, different Miss Davison.
I would say different Miss Davison. Yeah. I'm not sure. She could be a principal now. I don't know.
Her first name?
No, she got a son named Chase, though, that I grew up with. Susan? Okay. Susan.
Yeah. Susan Davison.
Yeah, that's her. Uh-huh. And so me and Chase, her son, he's a year younger than me, we grew up together. Didn't do a whole lot of rowdy things with him. We did get in an accident one time. He rear-ended me. But I stopped way too fast. I was like, I'm going to make you hit me. Bam, he hit me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that was stupid. So, doing dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Her and her husband, they kind of still play a role in my life in a way that they probably don't even understand.
Oh, wow.
Her husband ranches and has been through some tough times in the ranch and in the ground and the raising cattle and having the ground to raise the cattle and fighting people with money that don't want to raise livestock. And so it's tough. And watching him go through it and persevere and be on this side of it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like you can beat it.
Yeah.
You know, hard work and effort and patience. And then seventh grade started just at the junior high, which I'm surprised that building's still standing.
I'm glad that building's still standing.
I am too.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad when it's not.
I know. But I think they're trying to give it as much life as possible.
I've heard it's got some issues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything that old.
It had issues then. No, you're right. You're right. Anything that old. And the problem is it costs so much money and you have to do it in such a short amount of time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You got to flip it pretty quick.
And so that's.
Because where would you send them?
Exactly. Where? I mean, nowhere.
Yeah. The temple? Hold school at the temple for a year?
I mean, you could. I wouldn't suggest that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what. It's too historic and nostalgic to do away with.
Yeah.
No, I like seventh and eighth grade. That's when I started playing school sports.
Oh, what sports did you play?
Played baseball, football, and played some golf in junior high, as a matter of fact. Basically just baseball and football in high school. Had a really good baseball team. Started the season of the 2000 two. 2003, I don't remember what year it was. I think it was 2002. We won the state championship football 20 years ago, like last week.
Yeah. I think it was 2023.
Yeah. And then played baseball. And a lot of the guys that I played ball with went on to play ball in college. And I was too stubborn to even want to go to college. Like, we're going to go to college and play baseball. Like, I'm going to go to work and make money. And so I got a really big head. I got a really big head start on them, right? Yeah. But when you put it side to side now, there's no difference.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of them, their bodies aren't near as beat up as mine because they went and learned how to do something instead of just going and doing something.
Now, when you went to do something, was it? We'll get to it, but was it farming?
No, I went to be a welder.
Okay, gotcha.
So I welded for about 17 and a half years. Started in industrial work and then went into contract welding, oil and gas industry. Did some service gas work, utility work for Oklahoma Natural. Well, a company that did work for Oklahoma Natural. Welding on live gas lines and stuff, which was cool. It just got boring. Yeah, went back to the oil field, basically, pipeline and building drilling rigs and working on that stuff. And did that until we figured out how to make a living selling meat.
Gotcha.
So in those 17 years, I probably worked about 25 or 26 years worth of hours. You know, there was more 80-hour weeks than there was 50-hour weeks. Yeah. Hardly ever a 40-hour week.
Yeah.
And a lot of 100-hour weeks.
Gotcha.
And you just get burnt out, you know. But when there's an end goal in sight, which really kind of facilitated itself about 2016 and 17, like, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure out how to. And we're going to be patient, and we're going to pray about it, and we're going to work hard towards that goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the last 4 years of it was strictly a means to an end.
Yeah.
It got us here.
Yeah.
And so, hallelujah, you know, tired, and I'm so burned on welding, building anything out of metal. It's not even funny, but it got us here. So gotta be thankful for all of it.
For sure. So go through school, Guthrie, bike riding, high school. I know in high school for me, oftentimes the weekends consisted of cruising up and down divisions, circling it. 2000, you were in high school in what, 2000, 2001, 2002?
Graduated in 04.
Graduated 04. Were y'all cruising then? Like, what did your weekends look like as a young man?
So we...
Without giving yourself, you don't have to expose too much of yourself.
No, we wouldn't so much cruise as we'd end up in a parking lot.
Gotcha.
We wouldn't waste the gas. We'd use the gas to get there. Gas was a little higher when I was in high school than it was when you was in high school. Just a little bit. And so we'd go hang out, and we'd end up starting something like that, and ended up at, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, pretty much steered clear of trouble my whole childhood, for the most part.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I'm glad. I missed out on a lot, I feel like. Some of my friends, they did more than I did. But they don't have the kind of the testimony now of saying, I missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
And here's my story.
That's you good. Know, no, I love that.
It took me a while as growing up into a young man and listening to all these other stories, to all these other people.
Yeah.
And like, I ain't got a story. You know,
have a story. It's just not that.
I went and hung out, and, you know, and I went home and went to bed because I wanted to go work the next day. You know, go make money. And
now, were you doing this in high school? Were you working in high school?
I worked. So my dad had a company that I worked for in high school. I did do a little bit of welding. I did some stuff on the side. That was when I was infatuated with welding. Like, it was the coolest thing. It was gluing two pieces of metal together and making something exist that did not before you made it. And I did some work, and I got out of high school and went to Tulsa Welding School, which is who actually taught me how to weld. And to teach someone how to weld, anybody listening that wants to learn how to weld, get metal, get a welder, and do it over and 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 over again. And when you do it about 100 hours, then get a hold of somebody who does weld for a living and ask them what you need to do different. And then do that different thing for 100 hours. And then at the end of 200 hours, you're a pretty good welder. It's just time.
Yeah.
Time, repetition, consistency. It's, you know, pretty much everything makes anything a success. Time and repetition and consistency. So I went to welding school, left there, and went to South Dakota. I was 18 years old, working on a job with 6,000 men that you have to test into. Like, it was nuts. I have no idea how I lived through it. And did that, lived that life, building ethanol plants and power plants and working shutdowns. And 2005, I was home like 12 days the entire year. Wasn't even old enough to drink. Mm. Like, barely old enough to vote on the road. Lord have mercy. My wife was in nursing school. We were just boyfriend, girlfriend at the time. And then I came home the end of 05 and got me a job in Oklahoma City and built a welding bed and went to contract welding, building, drilling rigs. And I did that for a couple of years. Once I started that, I don't know, it was a whole different level. I thought I was a different level. Really wasn't. But it kind of opened my eyes to the potential of what could be. Because I made a ton of money on doing all that industrial work, but I was gone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to navigate my way in this welding career industry as a career. And, you know, those big jobs, those big industrial jobs, you're working 7-12s anyway. You know, a lot of them are 7-13s. Some of them you're working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So you're working a ton, you know, 91, 98 hours a week. And 84 if you're working with a bunch of lazy people.
Yeah.
And so I had that mindset. Like, that's what I did. And so I come home and I start this other stuff. I'm like, we only work 11 hours a day. I'm like, it's a bunch of lazy people. Like, what? It's still daylight out. Why are we not working?
We should still be grinding.
Right.
Even though we've put in 11 hours.
Right. Yeah. It's nothing. And so that mentality really helped me create a future. Mm. for my family, myself, my wife, my kids. Now that mentality also takes a toll.
Yeah.
On the wife and the family and the kids. You know, when a man's role is to provide, you got to be real clear on what you're providing.
Yeah.
Providing a living hell for your family, or are you providing a life that they want? Mm. And how much of you do they want in that life? Mm. If they want a lot of you, you're not providing anything.
Yeah.
You're not making their dreams come true by buying them stuff.
I like the point that you make, that I think I hear you saying, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is like, it's really based on what your family wants. So like, my kids may not require a lot of my time. Like, they're independent, they get out on their own. But then some kids are like, I want you at everything. I need you to be a part of this thing. And it kind of depended on that based on how you're going to provide for your family, meaning your time with them or whatever the case
right.
may be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But so many men, especially young men, believe that provision is only monetary. Mm-hmm. It's only money. Mm-hmm. That time and memories don't equate to money. And in reality, for most people, time and memories and experiences together equate for much more. Yeah, the much higher value than money.
Yeah,
it took me a long time to learn that.
Yeah,
but God turns everything into the good for those that love Him, called Him according to His purpose. Right.
Yeah.
So here I am. That comes to mind. Now I'm with my kids. I take them to school every day. You know, me and my wife go have coffee after we drop the kids off at school and talk about our plans for the day.
Where's y'all? Are y'all doing coffee at the house?
We'll do coffee at the house. We'll do coffee at Starbucks, Rick's, Hoboken, anywhere.
Just wherever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's not about the place. It's about who you with.
That's right. Right. And there's a couple families in Coyle that we have coffee with once a week, so we'll hit them up. We get to make plans. It's just absolutely so insane to say it out loud, you know the old saying, say it out loud if you want to see if you really like it or not. To tell this story out loud is to just tell out loud of God's grace and goodness.
Like,
because all the time I sacrificed away from my family, away from my kids, like, I get that. I get to make up for it. Most people don't. Most people don't get the opportunity to make up for it. They don't get the opportunity to take their kids to school every day, mm-hmm. pick them up from school every day if they want, and stuff like that. And here it's like, everything has just been laid out so pretty for us.
Yeah.
And it's just the grace of God at work, you know, and trying to do His will and serve His people. And since the mindset really, you know, the idea, let's make money selling meat, let's ranch, let's raise cattle and hogs and sheep, and let's ranch, let's sell meat. When that went from a kind of a company mindset to a cause mindset, let's raise God's creatures. Let's feed God's people. It's kind of when everything shifted. Mm. And it's like, oh, that's not just make-believe. Like, that's real. Like, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's put effort into that. Let's put effort into moving the kingdom forward one piece of meat at a time.
Yeah.
And so many people think it's stupid, think it's crazy. Like, oh, you this or you that. A lot of people are like, you try to sell your meat on the coattails of Jesus. I'm like,
that's what they say to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, no. I know Jesus. You need to know Him too. So we're gonna give you this roast or this hamburger or this steak, and we're going to tell you Jesus loves you. He loves you so much, He's going to give you this piece of meat.
Raise God's creatures. To feed God's people.
That's right.
Raise God's creatures, feed God's people. Sure. I love that.
Yep.
I love that. In high school, we're going to come back to, because this raise God's creatures, feed God's people, that's in conjunction with Dunnigan Farm.
Right.
Which is what you do now.
Right.
Just kind of going back to middle school, high school, and hearing Got Through America, what were some favorite moments that kind of stand out to you during those times that may have had a impact on you? I hear that you may not have that, I won't say the normal high school life in the sense of like the party and all that. Maybe you went to parties, but you didn't partake in
right.
like what happened to those kind of in those things. But I think it's important that people hear that. You know, I don't know how many middle school or high school students will hear this, but I think it's something important about telling the story. Like, it's okay that you did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, because I'm not saying I was that kid.
Yeah.
But I understand that, man, I wish, like my kids now, the way that I'm watching my kids grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I would have made those kind of decisions, yeah. Right? And so, not that my kids are perfect, but they definitely are not.
And we all hope for that.
That's right.
We all hope, you know, whether we make good decisions or bad decisions, we hope our kids, they roll through it making every decision perfect.
Perfect. And that's how we hold perfect. Them, too.
Yeah. Like, you should have done this. I hit them like, I didn't.
Yeah,
exactly. They don't know that. They wasn't around. No, so.
Give me some fun or moments. Middle school, high school.
The drive-in was happening place. The Beacon drive-in theater. Yeah. There's a bridge out west of town that had water underneath it that we may or may not have swam in a lot.
Now, which side of the – somebody was telling me, I'm assuming it's the same bridge,
yeah.
Right? Somebody was saying you got to know which side to jump off of.
Well, we only ever jumped off south side.
I think that's what they said.
there's some crazy stuff down there. And no, do not do any of that. I say no. Bad decision. One of the few bad decisions I made. I'm just telling my story. So spent a lot of time out there. Man, in the summer we fished. We rode around, goofed off, played ball. Played a lot of ball. We played, if you could play baseball, we was playing baseball. If you couldn't play baseball, we was figuring out how to play baseball. We play Nintendo 64, whatever, baseball. Like, that's what we did. That's what we lived. And football, you know. Probably, I'm trying to think, anything that was real, real, real crazy. There wasn't a whole lot. We did some tunnel exploration. Of course, a lot of kids did.
Wait, I don't know time. What tunnel. What do you mean?
The drainage tunnels in Guthrie.
Wait a second. I think this is the first time that I've heard about the drainage tunnels.
Drainage.
What were y'all doing in the tunnels? Like, how did you get down in there?
We're trying to figure out why they went so far. And how come there wasn't any drains coming into them?
Got you.
Yeah. No, the history of Guthrie is steeped in folklore.
Yeah,
and some of it's real, and some of it's not. I'm gonna let y'all decide on that.
You gotta venture out to find out which one's real, which one's not. But we're not encouraging it.
No, you can't even. In all honesty, where we were messing around, you can't even get in there no more.
Okay.
So they knew we were doing it, and they're like, this needs to stop."
I shut it down.
Put the end on that deal.
Yeah. Y'all right mess there. It up for future kids.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, I can remember one deal we did in high school, and one of my bad decisions. So my dad owned a business, and he was a roofing contractor, and dealt with this roof coating. And so, our junior year, we wanted to take the senior parking lot of the high school.
You wanted to do what to it?
We wanted the senior parking lot.
Okay,
like we were juniors, but we didn't care.
Oh, gotcha.
We did not care.
Yeah.
And so we took this roof coating and we wrote all over the senior parking lot at the high school in this roof coating. And we convinced, I don't know if he knows, we convinced Mr. Sykes that we didn't do that, that the seniors did that to get back at us for something.
Oh.
And, yeah, they all got in trouble, and we didn't.
That is
hilarious. And we 100% did it.
Mr. Sykes was y'all's principal?
Yeah.
Man, okay.
Yeah, so his youngest son, Kyle, was also in our class. And that may have helped. I don't think so, because he was pretty hard on us.
Yeah.
I think he knew a lot more about what we were doing than we thought he did.
Uh-huh.
But he was a good principal.
I mean, he had been around for, you know.
A minute.
Yeah. You weren't pulling anything on him.
No. We thought we were.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
And he held that. He held that esteemed tower look like well. Like, uh-huh. He could see right through us, and we thought we had one over on him.
Yeah.
You know, And then he'd be like waiting for us. Like, how did you know? I'm like, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, didn't do a whole lot of crazy stuff. I was in ag in high school, and we made this. This was stupid. Tennis ball cannon.
Oh.
Potato cannon. Call it potato cannon. And it ended up being a great potato cannon once we got it off school property. But we had to try it before we took it.
So what were y'all shooting potatoes out of it or tennis ball?
It was actually a tennis ball.
Wow.
Full of BBs.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We should have went to jail.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It it shot from the ag building over guess.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yeah. Like, up past the bus barn, over the practice.
So y'all could just, like, see it.
It's gone. And, you know, it sounded like a bomb went off. And it was outside, like, right outside. And when it shot, the pressure blew the cannon down. And it slid all the way back inside and, like, chipped the concrete off from the flames burning out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
It was gnarly. And so we didn't die. We didn't go to jail.
Good.
We did lie about what happened.
Yeah.
But it kept us out of jail.
Yeah.
And all of our ears rang for about a month.
Oh, my goodness.
So stupid. And Mr. Smith, now, I'm friends with him. Yeah, I'm friends with him. And I need to call him and tell him we did that because he doesn't know, but he retired. He may get a kick out of it. It may go ahead and give him a heart attack. He was always on the verge with us, with the seniors above, the year older than us. There's a few of them. I will not name them. But with that class and us, he was always on the verge of a full heart attack.
Yeah.
Like, his heart's going to stop. It's just going to explode out of his chest and he's going to die.
Yeah.
We kept him on his toes. Yeah. Stupid.
Just
being a stupid kid.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there's been times where I have betrayed Guthrie.
Those are the times.
A couple of them, yeah. But Guthrie's never betrayed me.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back on it, like, there's part of me that wants to see Guthrie grow going forward, especially being what you would call, I guess, a merchant.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we want people.
Yeah.
You got to have people to sell something to, right? And Guthrie has, you know, quite a few people. We have a lot of customers that live in Guthrie. But I think, by and large, the idea is to grow Guthrie. But what scares me about that is, when's Guthrie America not going to be Guthrie America anymore?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was kind of alluded to, there's so many towns that have been washed out and repurposed.
Yeah.
And Guthrie hasn't yet.
Yeah.
Jim Smith says, well, it's the same, you know, now as it was in 1950.
Yeah.
Well, that was 72 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm 72, I want it to be the same as it is now. But without a little bit of progression, it's going to die.
Yeah.
And so there's a fine line or a gray area or a, you know, we got to toe that line and move it, but not at the, not risking it, you know, being replaced.
Gotcha.
And, you know, maybe it'll happen in its own time.
Yeah. In its own way. Kind of.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Like, we got to get to, we have to get to your wife.
Yeah.
Because she was around when you were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of tell us that interaction. What has that looked like up until today?
So, a crazy story. Our grandparents went to high school together.
Get out of here.
Our dads went to high school together.
Okay.
And her and I went to high school together. And we graduated together. She graduated largely on account of my ability to write her papers. She's not here to defend herself, so I'm gonna send it.
We'll have her on.
I'm gonna send it.
We'll have Heather on.
That made me nervous. So we are high school sweethearts. We started dating our freshman year. Originally, the first time started dating. Now that would have been eighth grade if it had been up to me. I kind of had a crush on her. I don't know why. She did not like me. She claimed, still to this day, like, I hated you in the eighth grade. I'm like, I tell her she didn't. She secretly loved me. She just didn't know it yet. And so anyway, we both in honor choir, and neither one of us could sing. So I don't know why we were in honor choir.
Well, when you told me that earlier, I was like, oh,
No, I can't sing.
No, you can't sing.
I can play the piano a little bit. I can play the drums and I can auctioneer, but I cannot sing.
Okay. So you can do that. I mean, is that what you mean by auctioneer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the next time
it's called a bid call.
Bid
call. Yeah.
Okay. Because people ask me to do that because they think because I'm outgoing and I MC events. I'm like, no, I'm not an auctioneer.
The idea in a bid call is you have to count. You have to talk really fast and you can say whatever filler words you want to say. But you have to count and then you have to do the math. And so when you see a bid, you have to do the math of what you're asking for. So it's much more of a math deal than it is a talking or being outgoing. But I really, really enjoy it. It's fun. And a lot of people pay a lot of money for something they shouldn't.
For you? Oh, yeah. You're talking about people paying for the stuff.
Price discovery, uh-huh. You know, that when the emotional, strings are getting pulled because I want this water hose. This $8 brand new, and I'm fitting to pay $35 for it because I'm in a bidding war.
Because I got caught up.
Yeah.
Caught up in my emotions. Yeah,
you know, and then I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's one more dollar. You already could have bought four of these. Just go ahead and do the one. Okay. Yeah. No. So it's super fun. But so we have this Babes in Toyland program or play, and the auto choir teacher is like, we need these props, so bring some stuff to animals, bring you know, curtains or old sheets or pillowcases or whatever. So all these kids bring this stuff. So Heather shows up with this gorilla that she won, or I don't know where she got it. To this day, I don't know where she got it, but it's like a gorilla, stuffed gorilla. And so this gorilla sits in the same spot during all the play practices and during the play. And like, all right, the play's over. Take your stuff home. So she grabs her gorilla while I take it from her. And she's like, give me my gorilla. I'm like, nah, I'm taking it with me. She's like, well, I want it back. I'm like, well, you have to come over and get it. Like, I'm not coming to your house to get my gorilla. I'm like, well, that's fine. I'm going to keep it then. And that's kind of how the eighth grade ended.
Okay.
Like, she wanted the gorilla. I said no. And so I took it, and she told her parents, and my mother and father-in-law, great people, some of my best friends. And they talk about it now. I'm like, we knew you were weird. Like, why are you going to steal a gorilla? Because I wanted something that was hers. Like, I just wanted, that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little possessive. I'm not sure. So we started dating our freshman year. So 22 years. We've been together dating-wise since we started dating. We broke up a couple times in high school, as kids will do. But we've been married just shy of 15 years. This March will be 15 years. Seems crazy.
How were you when you got married?
22.
Okay.
23, 22, yeah.
Do you remember how you asked her? Because you,
like... No, I remember. It's terrible.
Yeah, so... Like when you high school sweethearts dated to you 22.
Well, I went
like
on
you already know you get married. Did you try to surprise her?
I went on the road working.
Okay.
And she was in nursing school. And both of us were kind of like, we need to do this, you know, before we don't.
Yeah.
And I was gone. You know, I was home like 12 days in 2005. Well, we made it through all that long distance dating relationship. She's in college. I'm all over the planet working lots of hours, you know, stacking up cash, spending it on stuff I did not need. But anyway, it got us to here. So we made it through that. And I come home and I'm looking for a place to stay because I had been living in an RV. And so I parked the RV at her parents' house and find a place over here. The chapels were kind enough to, like, hey, go put it over there. Until the city code enforcers like, you can't do that no more. That's really how we ended up where we are. So we're getting kicked out of the RV park.
Okay.
And CR was like, well, I'm fixing the move. I'm selling this. I'm like, well, we're going to go ahead and buy it. You know, and of course we needed a mortgage and young people. And they were like, you got to have all this money down. I'm like, that's no problem. He's like, okay. So anyway, I go to work. She goes to nursing school. We come home and I come home and we get this place and we're living together and probably shouldn't have been because we weren't married, but we were. So I get this job and I go buy this ring and she kind of picked the ring out, kind of didn't. And so I lay away this dude, right? Because I'm hoping, I'm hoping what she's going to pick is like over here. Like, here's like the cheapest ring cost all the way around to like.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots. And she's like, let's just start here. And she didn't make it very far. She's like, I want that one. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, are you serious? Of course, the provider, I'm like, yeah, it's no problem, baby. Yeah. I'll get that. And I'm talking to the lady. I'm like, how long can I have this on layaway? She's like, as long as you need. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And so we get that process started. And I finally get this ring paid off, right? And so I got it. And I'm so excited that I have this. I've got this deal planned where, like, going to take her to a baseball game and going to do this, going to do this, going to do this, going to do this. And it literally, figuratively burned a hole in my pocket. And she walks in the bedroom one day. I'm like, on my knees. I'm like, will you marry me? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you don't seem very excited. And she's like, I thought I'd get a cooler proposal. And so anyway, yeah, it sucked. It was terrible. And so fast forward to 2016 or 16, I guess it was, we're on this cruise ship. And because I never bought her a wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
The engagement ring cost so much money. I was so mad about it. I'm like, that's all you're getting. You know, that's it. That's it. Uh-huh. Like, you can cut that in half if you want to. And so I get her this actual wedding ring, actual wedding band. And it's the one that she wanted from back then.
Oh.
Like, I remembered. And I'm like, I need this. I need this. And so secretly got it paid for. And we're going on this cruise with my cousin. And so I left the jewelry store and I went to the UPS store. And I shipped it to my cousin in New York. Insured. I said, y'all bring this. Because I botched the proposal.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we're doing one of the formal dinners on the cruise. And I stand up to make a toast. And I'm, you know, in a suit and tails and tie. And I start talking. And she's like, I'm waiting on her to, like, tear up. Nothing. I'm like, all right. I screwed that one up, too. I still ain't got it right. She was happy to get it. Yeah. She was happy to get it. But I don't know. My delivery of that stuff is just terrible.
That is
I'll get it right one of these days.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's what she's waiting on. She's like, I'm just going to keep I'm gonna keep playing this off, and he'll keep buying me stuff.
So 15 years in,
yep.
Been married. Both from Guthrie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through a few events and you just kind of tell me
like
what comes to your mind, if there's a cool story around or anything like that, okay?
Yeah.
Christmas Victorian Walk.
I used to sell peanuts. So my grandpa was the, I don't know if you'd call him a chairman. He was the governor of it. He was a chairman, something or other. A couple things. Him and I, Doug Hain is his name, former city councilman as well. We changed every single light bulb in every single Christmas light strand on all the streets in the downtown area.
Oh, my. When whatever, like whenever.
Like two or three years in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they were all on the building and everything?
Yeah.
So the ones that were out, you would go through and fix them?
We'd go through and change them.
Wow.
For like 3 years in a row, we'd done that. And it took 6 weeks. We couldn't do it, you know, just nonstop.
Yeah.
It took maybe not 6 weeks, a couple weeks of doing that before the Victorian Walk. But we'd dress up in the 1920s hats and clothes and this little wooden box with a strap that went around your neck and a bag of half a pound of peanuts. And we'd walk around and sell peanuts.
Did you scoop them or were they bagged up?
I was bagged up.
Got you.
Yep. We did also steal a bunch of the chrome valve cover.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, for whatever reason, whoever the peanut selling deal, we were graded off of how many of those chrome valve cover caps we came back with, not how many peanuts we sold. Isn't that terrible? Oh, my gosh.
That is hilarious.
So, anyway, I no longer steal those. I was like 11, just for the record. I don't know what we were thinking. So stupid.
That's funny.
But, no, the Victorian Christmas walk downtown has just been something I look forward to every year.
That's good.
I love it.
That's good. 89 is parade.
Okay. So, we're... Golden Age added on a couple years ago. They basically took that parking lot between them and Ash Street Place That was our spot, right across from the library.
Got you.
We'd park a truck up there like Tuesday. I mean, basically before the carnival started, we'd have a truck sitting there where we was going to have sit at for the parade. And we'd go up there Saturday morning. It didn't matter how far we walked. We had lawn chairs. We had water in the truck. We'd sit in the back of the pickup and watch the parade. The Guthrie 89ers Day Parade and Carnival is the culmination of the best small town event you can even imagine. When you watch stuff on TV, you watch these summer socials, and everybody's excited and happy, and there's some baseball game or something. Like, all of that sounds cool and looks cool, and Hollywood tries to recreate in movies what we experience every year with the 89ers Day Parade and Carnival. Like, there is nothing beyond. There's nothing beyond it. As far as a real life small town experience, there's just not.
You sit,
you watch the carnival. A lot of people say, "Well, it's the same stuff every year." Well, and it needs to be. Like, it's a tradition. A tradition's the same stuff. It's different people popping wheelies on those three wheelers. It may be the same three wheelers. But to finish all that up with going down to the carnival, you know, going down to the vendors to eat, you know, and they go into play, it's just, there's nothing like it. And if everybody that has came and experienced it for the first time, they come back, even if they're not from Guthrie. Like, it is incredibly huge as far as experiencing all of Guthrie in one day.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like, you know, and you think about that, and you think about, like, before the high school football games, all the tailgating that goes on outside. You know, it's kind of like the same type deal. The Victorian Christmas Walk, there's parts of that that are kind of like, you know, they pull on some of those same strings. But the 89ers Day Parade and Carnival is everything in one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's all of it.
It's a combination.
For the most part.
You drive around town and there's people, it's family reunions, it's just everybody's coming together. So good. So
you get true. You get the sidewalks and streets cleaned, you get new paint. Like, it's something that's so exciting to look forward to. When you see the street sweeper and you see them painting the lines in the street, you know, it's like, you get a lighter spirit. You're like, yeah, the 89ers this weekend. You know, it's like, come on with it. Yeah. You know, and everybody looks forward to it. And, you know, a couple stray dogs and some stabbings recently. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Horrible. But it's still not going to kill it.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're dealing with humans.
Anytime you're going to do any dealings with humans, you're guaranteed there's a good chance of failure.
Yeah, something's going to happen. Bluegrass Festival.
Also awesome. I remember as a kid, and I wish they'd do it again. And I don't remember why they did this couple years. It may have rained too much. But at Gelsma Stadium was the kind of the final stage of the coolest. I think Willie Nelson came one year and played at Gelsma Stadium.
Wait, they used to have Bluegrass Festival?
I had a couple of the shows there, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that was crazy.
That's cool. Yeah, they should do that again.
I think it was tight.
Yeah, that would be really legit.
Yeah. But the Bluegrass Festival is incredible. And if you've never experienced it, even if you don't like bluegrass, I kind of do. I just like the musical creation side of it more than I like the type of music.
Yeah.
But you see these guys and gals, and they'll sit down, and one of them will play a tune, and then another one will play a tune. And before you know it, there's 35 people playing in one song that they're creating as they go.
Yeah.
And they call it jamming or whatever. Yeah. And it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, the musical prowess is needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem with that, there's a few young people. One of the biggest problems is they're all really old people.
Yeah.
So who's going to carry that on?
Yeah. You know, and I feel that same way about some things in Guthrie. It's like, just if the younger people don't get involved, like, what the tradition of whatever that may be, like, it doesn't get carried on if we don't have people.
No, the
89ers.
The tradition, you know, of what it was will be only what it was.
Yeah, what it was, yeah.
Not what what it is.
And, you know, some of that's just part of life, too. Like, things just kind of end, and you just kind of hold on to the stories.
Well, if 89ers in, I mean, we're going to be having some problems.
We had to get some young people in there to start. And I'm no longer young.
Well, I think my generation and your generation, I mean, I think before long there'll be room for us. I think right now there's some older,
yeah,
older traditionalists that,
yeah,
are kind of hesitant to let go of some reins,
yeah,
in fear of us destroying what they created.
I was
going to
say, rightly so, probably. Yeah. Rightly so.
No, 100%. They're like, I'm not letting these yahoos ruin all this.
Ruin the tradition.
But I think the Guthrie-minded people, I think there's enough of us,
yeah,
that really and truly have Guthrie's best interest at heart, yeah, that we can do a good job.
Yeah,
and I think when the time comes for us to step up and be there, we'll be ready. Yeah. And they'll be ready to let us.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope it's before they're all dead so we can ask them stuff.
Guthrie homecoming.
Oh, man. Probably one of the worst times of the year for high school students because they get out half the day. There's too much time that's unaccounted for. And now there are those who make good choices.
There are those
who choose otherwise. But the homecoming parade is fun. Homecoming game is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about small town America getting hyped about some high school football.
That's it.
It don't get no bigger.
Yeah,
in
don't
here.
Get any
it don't
bigger
get no
than
bigger
than
here.
They get you know, and I didn't know that. Now I say this probably every podcast, but I did not recognize, like, that's not a thing everywhere.
So I didn't either. Growing up here, like, I thought,
yeah,
every single town
city
got this,
yeah,
high
every
about
town.
Everything, and they don't.
No,
Like Edmond Memorial's having homecoming game tonight, and you drive by and count 109 people in the stands. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they didn't shut the town down.
That's right. They didn't shut down the streets.
Like, the post office didn't close early for homecoming.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird. No, I'm right there with you. I thought everybody was like
I
that.
I thought everybody until I started talking to people.
And they're not.
Yeah. That's crazy. Redbrick Nights.
Redbrick Nights is a beautiful idea. It's necessary. It's needed. And I think Calvin, I can't think of his last name. Stupid me. Fireworks are popping, hitting his fireworks.
Yeah.
I think, isn't that the start of the Red Brick Night series? Or the second? No, it's the third.
Yeah, May, June, July.
Okay. Yes. Well, man, you want to talk about a small town sock hop that's just doesn't get any better. They got food trucks, they got vendors, they got drinks, they got fireworks, they got live music, a lot of good local live music.
Yeah.
So if you've ever thought, like, just been driving around and be like, man, it'd be so cool if they shut this street down. They bring all this stuff here, and we just hang out on this beautiful evening. Well, that's what Red Brick Nights is. I mean.
You can bring a couch. You can do whatever.
Why is it new? You know, I mean, when I say new, 5 years.
Yeah, why hadn't it happened?
Why hadn't this been going on since the 80s?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's such a great idea.
Yeah.
And what it does to bring the community together.
Yeah.
Is just insane, you know, because you see people, especially in the summer, you know, school's out. A lot of hermits be like, I'll see them next year, next school year, whatever. And like, no, take your butt off your couch and go be a part of society. Like, you always sit around and be like, well, I didn't know. Well, because you're never go anywhere. Like, go talk to people. And then, like, my wife, she's like, I don't like people. Which isn't true. I'm more of a people person than she is.
I know. I live in the same world.
Yeah.
So I understand that. That's cool, man.
But she can not people a lot better than I can people sometimes. I'm like, I don't know how she does it.
She can not people?
She can not people better than I can people. Like, she can not be wanting to talk to someone and that person be like, I'm so thankful I got to talk to you. And I want to talk to that person. They're like, leave me alone. I want to talk to her. I'm like, she doesn't even like you.
I live in the same
world.
Like,
what are you
world.
Talking about?
I live in the
like,
same
her,
world. It's
her
so
gifts
true.
Are just amazing.
It, people
and I,
like,
I don't know how it works.
My wife, they're like, I love your wife. I'm like, okay. I mean, she's just not a people person.
Yeah.
Like that, like, where we may go out. Like, I'm getting hired to go green because I want to be there.
Like, me and you will be dealing with the 89ers stuff and 15 years from now, and our wives will be like, did you guys have a good 89ers meeting?
That's right.
Like, yeah, you weren't there. I'm like, yeah, I ain't going to be there next week either.
And then I end up pulling her in somehow. And then she's like, this is all because of you.
Yeah.
You
know? I told you I didn't want to do this. Yeah. And here we are doing it.
We're a package deal.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
Well, that's the deal. I mean, we are one flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
With like even her not being here today, it's only half of. I'm only half here.
Yeah. We'll bring her so we can get the other half because that's where the real story's going. You think we can get her in here?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she'll come.
If you send her a message, she'll come. If I say something to her, she'll be like, no. What's so funny though is she would enjoy it.
Yes.
She just won't admit to it.
Uh huh. Yeah. For sure. Tell me one of your favorite Guthrie America moments.
One of my favorite Guthrie America moments.
Like, what's that thing that you feel like, man, this is the story that's going to let people know just how awesome this place is?
Well, a couple weeks ago, we lost a couple really good men, young men. And we had a prayer vigil at the park. Did you see how many people showed up to that?
No, I did not.
A ton of people.
Wow.
Just to show up. And the families of the people weren't even, I mean, they knew it was going to be there. They wouldn't like they was invited. They had to be there. But the community showed up for these people.
Yeah.
The community. And even, I talked to some people like, I don't know who these people were that passed away, but this is my community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm going to stand up and I'm going to hold up these people. So that's one thing that's huge about Guthrie. You know, one thing about Guthrie football that I think is so cool. For the most part, we're a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
What I think makes and you know, it's not necessarily just the football; it's the parents of these kids.
Mm.
When we bring someone to our town, if they beat us in football, one thing that makes Guthrie stand out to me, like Bishop McGinnis, for instance, that was a hard-fought game. We lost. They were respectful. We were respectful. You can come to Guthrie and get beat or beat us, and we're going to treat you the same regardless.
Yeah.
Like the support of the school sports is just second to none.
Yeah.
Like you said, you thought it was like that everywhere. I did too.
Yeah.
It ain't.
No.
And I don't think it needs to be glanced over. I think it needs to be celebrated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids and a lot of sports and a lot of towns that don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they came here and they had this type of infrastructure supporting them, they could go further.
For sure. For sure.
So I love to watch the community. Come around and together in a selfless way.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything you've talked about, the parade, the Victorian walk, Red Brick Nights, the stuff at the park the other night was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because it's to gain nothing for that person, but just to be there physically, emotionally, for someone else.
Yeah. No, that's good. What does Choose Guthrie mean to you?
Well, to me, and I will acknowledge that it probably means something different to other people.
Yeah.
Choose Guthrie to me means honor the traditions that were created by those before us. Lend value to those traditions in a way that would honor those that we're going to leave it to.
That's good. Jace, I deeply appreciate you being willing to spend time with us. Give us, again, how people can find you. I'm going to bring you back on so we can talk Dunnigan Farm and business and marketing for the Hedy Coleman podcast, which is a different podcast that I do.
Definitely. We'll get Heather in for with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be more her forte.
I think we get all three sit down, and I'd love to do that sooner than later as we go into the new year, just for people who are thinking about business and marketing and things like that.
Yep.
think that would be great.
Waiting for the right time to start a business. Yeah. It's never going to come by.
It's never.
You just got to start it.
It's like having children.
Just go. Just go.
Just go for it. So we're going to do that because there's so much. But before we end, I'd love for you just to talk about two things, your event that you all have as a business and the why behind that. And then I think you should share just the quick version of your testimony as far as how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal. And I think Guthrie America is about, this podcast is about people's stories. Yep. That's a big part of your story.
That's a huge part of my story.
So if you close us out with those two, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. My wife and I own Dunnigan Farms, dunniganfarms.com, socials, Dunnigan-Farms or Dunnigan underscore farms on everything. So our farm day is a gathering. We put on free family fun. So kind of our mission statement is loving God and meeting people where they are. But it's using God's creatures to feed God's people. And so we have spent a ton of money to have all this stuff out there. And this past spring of 22, we had a little over 5,000 people show up in 7 hours. We fed like 4,200 people. Didn't cost anybody anything. If you wanted to spend money, you could, but you could come eat and have fun for free, 100% free. And that was what we wanted to do. That's why we do it. And there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of opportunities to do certain things. Those people get taken out of consideration a lot. And those people matter, right? Those people breathe air. Those people have kids that are going to change the world. And so we want to make sure that they know that they're loved and that they're accepted. And so I was kind of raised in church. A lot of people, some people know this about me, some people don't. I was raised kind of in church and got baptized at First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ over there on Noble. And that was a transaction. That wasn't a transition. Mm. That was my first dunk. And I'm a big believer in two or three or four if it takes it.
You're talking about baptism.
Talking about baptism. Yeah. So I grew up and I did make a lot of the right decisions as a kid, as a young man. I'd made a few wrong ones, but my good ones outweighed my bad ones. And so then, you know, like I was saying earlier, I worked a lot. I made a lot of money. I worked hard. I could create. I thought way too highly of myself. So one of the biggest decisions that I made that was the most poor was saying to God, you know, if you're a God, I don't need you. I'm going to go do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not a Calvinist at all. I do not believe that the predestination of the elect is the elect, and that is all who are going. But I also can't argue with the fact that he let me make that decision to get my headspace filled with all this stuff that he can now use to talk to a certain type of person who denounces the existence of God and really hangs on to the atheistic worldview. And so I went to be an atheist. It sounds so stupid now. It's beautiful because he uses me now because of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He works everything together for the good of those who love him, called him according to his purpose. I'm like, hey, yo, Dad, I'm gonna go be an atheist. He's like, all right, go get studied up. Remember that.
Yeah.
Because when you come back over here, you're gonna be talking to those same people.
Yeah.
That you're arguing about now.
Yeah.
And now, and here it is, full culmination of that. But so he brought me back around, you know, in the never ending search for truth, and what that is, and the reading of the thinkers, and just acknowledging a lot of the thinkers and their lives as proof of search of truth, and how many of them ended their lives, and the act of doubting. Is so funny, and then you doubt that you're doubting, and then you doubt that you're doubting properly, and so what are you doing? It just pontificates itself down so many different spiral staircases, and that's the goal of the enemy, He's like, I'm going to take everybody and I'm going to use whatever tendencies they naturally have to doubt. And I'm gonna blow those up. Yeah. I'm going to make them so big they can't avoid them. They're going to have to investigate them. They're going to have to find out. And hopefully they die while they're finding out. They hopefully they die physical death before they get back to the Lord.
Yeah.
And thank God I made it. But I love getting the opportunity to share Jesus. Evangelism is kind of my drive, just to get to share Jesus with people. Mm. The hardest part of that is loving people like Jesus did. Mm. But it's so beautiful. Mm. He has no reason to love me, mm-hmm. no more than he does to love you. Mm-hmm. And he does. And he loves this, that new song, Gyra, mm-hmm. by Maverick City Music.
Yeah.
I think the first words of it, I will never be more loved than I am right now.
Yeah.
And the whole moral of that song is you are enough.
Yeah.
And the level of worship, the level of wholesome naked worship in that is to say, I will never be more loved than I am right now. And you are enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's so simple. It's so simple. It's so deep. It's so complex. But if I wouldn't have been an atheist, I'd have had no appreciation for that.
Yeah.
And so the second dunking, that's what started the transition. I look at a lot of baptisms, and thank the Lord I get to baptize a lot of people. And I pray about every one of them, Lord, let this be a transition, not a transaction. Because I've received both of them.
Yeah.
The transition is much better than the transaction. The transaction is I go get wet and I get this little certificate with my name on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I do this, you give me this.
Yeah.
The transition is I'm gonna lay my life down.
Yeah.
Here in this baptistry, and I'm gonna do it every day henceforth.
Yeah.
Until he returns or calls me home.
That's good.
And, I'm kind of getting fired up right now thinking about it. But that is why we exist, is to share the love of Jesus Christ. He's equipped my wife and I with different gifts, different people that we can each share with and share to and relate with. And everybody eats.
Yeah.
So how many people do we get to talk to and they come in to buy food? A lot.
Yeah.
Like, did you know? Jesus died for you. Or where are you going when you leave here?
Yeah.
I'm going home. Now, what about when you leave here?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, yeah, there we go. Where are you going? Oh, I don't know. I guess back into the ground. Like, all right, that's where you want to be. You know, just try to subtly open doors to share. And which has helped. It's been so great. And watch him work in our ministry, our business.
Yeah.
Is just so beautiful.
That's, you know, good.
Brings people in and changes their lives, and we get to witness. A lot of times it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Like, we're just a conduit.
Yeah.
And they're there. Somebody else is there. Life-changing, something happens, and we're like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just so awesome. We don't deserve any of this junk. None of it. And none of it mattered. None of this life here matters, really. It's just a mess. But if we're going to be here, we're going to be about the Father's work. And that's number one goal every day. Share Jesus.
That's good. That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, Jace Dunnigan. Jace, thank you so much for being willing to share your story with us.
Absolutely.
And one more time, where people find you on social?
So Facebook is just Dunnigan-Farms, Dunnigan-Farms. Instagram and TikTok is Dunnigan_Farms. I said that wrong. Instagram and YouTube, Dunnigan_Farms. TikTok is just at Dunnigan-Farms. No hyphen. No underscore. And that's where we're at on social. Website is Dunnigan-Farms.com.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hitting that play button again for the Guthrie America podcast. We're on a mission to have every story told of the fabulous people who do life here and who are from here. Will yours be next?